Also today we have received greetings from a large number of brethren who are joined with us. The first greetings came already from New Zealand. Very early in the morning, they were tuned in, and very clear and understandable they were listening to. They experienced everything. Then we have again greetings from Africa, greetings from Palermo, greetings from Italy. Brother Etienne phoned in. Brother Pino, Brother Graf, all the brothers are sending greetings. And most important of all, our beloved brother Rus, from him I really would like to give you sincerely his greetings. In this circular letter, we have put a photograph which we made. We published it. Brother Schmidt, Brother Rus, and Brother Frank. Brother Rus, I know him since 57 years. Brother Schmidt, I know since 50 years. And we really, we served the Lord together. There was not one discrepancy in the course of all these years. And as the Lord told me at that time, literally, he told me, said Brother Rus as an elder, you all know the testimony. We are grateful that the Lord has led everything so wonderfully, and we trust him that he never will get into despair. He will take care that we who are turning now very soon 80, we cannot do it now as we would have liked. Then of course the Lord will help us. With him all things are possible. Him we will trust until all eternity. Today, I actually wanted that our brothers from Atlanta decide that who of them will give us the greetings and that they come now to the front. Please, one brother who wants to give greetings, let him please come now to the front. And then I ask all, in all other languages, I ask, yes, if it is sung here in the German language and preached in the German language, then of course only because we are living in a German-speaking country. But the message, of course, is addressed to all peoples, tongues and nations. Also Brother Branham could only preach in English. The other languages he didn't know, but the message is here for everybody. The Bible was written in Hebrew language, partly in Aramaic language, and nevertheless it was translated into all the languages. Now more than 2,000 languages the Bible was translated into. So please, bear with us, if we at this place preach the word in this language and translate it. And in this regard, I would like to dedicate all the translators to the Lord, that they find grace before God to find the right words for the translation, that really the divine harmony can be in all things.
Sure. I trust you speak in English.
I want to speak in French.
In French?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Pardon? Très clair. Okay.
Précisément.
Okay.
I greet you all in the precious name of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. And I bring you all the greetings from the brothers and sisters from Atlanta, USA. May the Lord bless us all. And we are grateful from the depth of our hearts. And we are expecting His return. May God bless us all. Amen. Is somebody else who would like to give greetings wherever you are sitting now? Really, all should feel at home and all should know that they have a home here. Really, I hope that you feel at home. And if we sometimes give an admonition, a warning to our sisters, to our mothers, that they take care of their children in the mother rooms. If we make these remarks, that the elders have to take care for their children, that this is not a playground here, but this is a premise on which we are gathering and which we want to hear the word reverently. What is with this brother?
Pardon? Greetings. Just come here. You're here for the first time? You're here for the first time? Yes, okay. And you're from where?
In England.
Yeah, but that's not Africa now.
No.
That's England.
England.
But please, just a word of greeting.
Okay. I'm just greeting you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Ich grüße euch in dem Namen Jesu Christi.
I'm from England, Sheffield.
Ich komme aus Sheffield, England.
And I'm just greeting from the brother and sister in England.
Und ich grüße euch einfach von den Brüdern und Schwestern aus England.
And we're just greeting you that if you might pray for us as you are the children of God.
Und ihr, die ihr Kinder Gottes seid,
that we are the children of God, that they pray for us.
They?
That they might pray for us. That you we
pray that, for them. They will pray.
Yes.
Sure. Don't
Amen.
Worry.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Sure. We'll pray. Amen. God bless you. Sure. No problem. Wir beten alle Zeit, so sagt es die Heilige.
We pray at all times. That's how the scripture says it. And we pray for one another. And we also remember that what Brother Branham has said. Only perfect love enters there. We have to return to the first love. And the first love is the love toward God. And before our love toward God can be here, His love first was manifested unto us. Because that's how it is written. For God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that all who believe on Him should not perish but have eternal life. God is love, and He has revealed His love toward us. Now, just coming back to last night, just the mentioning of the 2nd of April 1962. Actually, I have no desire to time and again refer to it. But the fact is that God does certain things, and us as individuals, and then as the universal church, to lead us into that what He promised, that He includes us into it. And if, like in the days of Moses, when the promise which God has given to Abraham, when it found fulfillment, then God remembered his covenant. And he had to find somebody. He had to call somebody. And he had to commission someone. And commissioning someone to fulfill the promise to lead the people out. And then he found Moses. He commissioned him. This was not the decision of Moses. This was the decision of God. And if we look in the Holy Scriptures, there were always, especially concerning the people of Israel, and especially concerning the church, concerning the plan of salvation of God, there were always callings, commissions, which were in connection with the plan of salvation of our God, and are still standing in connection today. And then there are the ministries in the church. That's how it is written. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Then it's written that the churches had elders, that they had deacons. These are then the local churches and the order in a local church. As you noticed last night already, we not only have a little problem, we have a big problem with private interpretations of the scripture. And there I really think on the tremendous word which Peter has written in the name of the Lord, and which is valid for all eternity. 2 Peter, chapter 1, and it starts already with verse 16, and is in connection with the return of Jesus Christ. And here we have to pay attention very carefully. All who speak of the return of Jesus Christ, all who preach about it, they have to take care. They have to pay attention that they don't preach fables, that they don't bring anything of their own, but that they bring the word of our God in the original. And everything else they have to leave unto God. Here we have in verse 16, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And then to verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well." The two verses before that speak of the mighty experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. The experience on the Mount of Transfiguration was one of the most great and majestic ones, the greatest ones. Then he comes from the experience back to the word. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Every supernatural experience must be placed in the word, must be in agreement, in line with the word. And then comes verse 20. Knowing this first, that no every brother, doesn't matter when and where, he has to be aware of that not a single prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Isaiah 42 not. Isaiah 49 not. Not a single prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And how often did we say it at this place? And we'll continue to say it until eternity breaks forth for us. That the word bride cannot receive any single private interpretation. As with a begetting, the mother, the womb is closed and the seed is being received. And then comes forth, so also it was with Mary. Here we have it once again in the circular letter. We've written it very clearly. As Mary, as it was with Mary, so it is with the wise virgins. They don't mix. They don't know anything of a man, of that what he says and brings forth. No. They are pure word bride, and they receive the pure divine seed in themselves. And the result will be as written in Romans chapter 8, that by the transformation we will experience the redemption of our bodies. And as written in 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1, we shall see him as he is, and will be like him, because he became like us. Brother Schmidt, he has read one of the most tremendous words, which are in connection with promise and faith. Whoever believes God, whoever believes what God has promised, will see the fulfillment of it, will experience it. I don't know whether we all were reading carefully, attentively, whether we were hearkening to it. From Romans chapter 4. Did you all take note of it? Abraham there, verse 18, Abraham there, where there was nothing to hope for. How is it with you? Have you got a hope still? Can you hold fast to something from your own, of your own? Abraham there, where there was nothing to hope at all. The age was here. The time was over. Where there was no hope at all. But yet, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to the promise. Oh, blessed be God for all the promises. Blessed be God for the making of the covenant. Blessed be God for the blood of the new covenant. Thanks be to God for the people of the new covenant. Was there something to hope for in us? On what could we hope for? But now, now, we have the word of promise. And we have this promise that God is watching over his word and that he fulfills everything. Why do we at this place, why we time again, why do we emphasize the main promise? Why? Because it had to become reality in our time. God does everything according to his word. And I tell you very honestly, all who hold fast to this promise, which before the return of Jesus Christ, before the great and terrible day of the Lord breaks forth, before the judgments of God will strike this earth, and when the works of man will go up into flames, as written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, before that, God wanted, at the end of the time of grace, He wanted to send a prophet like Elijah. This was not the decision of Elijah. This was God's decision. And I tell you, whoever cannot respect the decision of God, with whom God cannot speak at all, what does he want to tell you if you don't believe what He has promised? So when God said, "Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah," then one has to search. What did Elijah do? For what could God use him? He called the people of God together on Mount Carmel. And he was asking, how long do you want to stagger around? How long want to jump around on two sides? If God is the Lord, then decide yourself for Him. It was the hour of decision among the people of God. Not to follow the gods, the idols, but to believe the Lord God. And behold, on the instruction of the Lord, He of course put up the stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. He has put up the altar. He built the altar and He brought the sacrifice upon it. And then He prayed to the Lord of heaven, "Let it be manifested today that you are the true God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I did all this according to your word." And then came the answer. In the same way, it was with the ministry of John the Baptist. Who was promised for the first coming of Christ. He came on the scene in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to bring the message, to prepare the way for the Lord. And as it is written, Luke 1, verse 16 and 17, to prepare him a well-prepared people. By the divine message, a people have to be prepared for the Lord. The way must be prepared. Every obstacle must be put away. And our hearts have to be connected anew with God. And then we recognize the promise for our time. For me, it's the most wonderful thing, what God promised for us. Now just imagine, the Lord would have let us run all our own ways until the return, and all would be disappointed to stand before the closed door. God knows what He's doing, and He does all things according to His counsel and word. And if He gives promises, then I have one request, that we read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God are yes in Him, and in Him the Amen, through us, for the glory of God. For all the promises of God is in Him, in Jesus Christ, the yes and the Amen. And then we think on Galatians 4, verse 28. We are hearing these promises, of course not for the first time. And there Paul writes, "Ye beloved brothers, like Isaac, you are the children of promise. Children of promise believe the word of promise and receive the spirit of promise. And they are laid into all the truth." And here we see really the difference between them who believe God and between them who do not believe God. Therefore it is written, on that day it will be manifested who serves God and who does not serve God. So A making of a covenant took place. All the promises who belong to it, God has given us in His Word by grace. Now, we have to take it to heart that all the calling out, all the preparation up to the completion can only happen with those who recognized that God in our time fulfilled the promise, and he confirmed it in a supernatural way. He confirmed it, and by this he has given us the opportunity to believe. And I tell you also now what the pious world, especially in the Pentecostal churches, they say, all the people, of course, are acquainted with that, what happened in the past. And then they just say, before Brother Branham, there were also others who claimed to be this Elijah. The names are well known. George J. Lake and others who claimed for themselves to be this promised Elijah. Mr. Dowie was the next one. In Illinois, they have a city. They built up a Zion. The name is called Zion. They have built a city, a Zion, in America. And they declared themselves to be this man. What has this to do with what God has done in our time? But the pious world, they say, just listen now. Oh, this was already. To me, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter what it was, what there was already. To me, it is about what God has done in our time. And no man and nothing what happened will hinder us to receive what God has done in our time. Let us be honest. They all built themselves their own kingdoms. Brother Branham didn't establish any local church in any city. And he said, out of this revival will not come forth a new denomination, but the bright church will be called out and will be prepared unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, let me say this also. When I was told on the 2nd of April 1962, among other things, it was said very loudly and clearly, it was said to me, my servant, do not establish any local church. Every Pentecostal preacher, all could have come and say, Brother Frank, one moment please. The local churches are of course biblical. There were local churches in Ephesus, in Corinth, in Galatians, all over. There were local assemblies. Local churches are also today. But it's not my task to establish local churches in other cities and countries. My task is, my direct commission is to go from city to city, from country to country, to preach the divine message, and everything else I leave up to God. I will not dare to do anything what the Lord has not commanded to me. And therefore, if we look back, all the men of God, they had their commission. They carried it out. And the same applies to our time. So, may to this point, may it be also added here, If there would not have been an 11th and 12th and 13th of April 1966, then with the ministry of Brother Branham, everything would have stopped forever. This may sound a bit too much, but it would have been like this, really. It would have become like this. All the brothers were disappointed that the resurrection of Brother Branham, which they expected, did not happen. And all would have returned home disappointed. And then came a brother Frank. He called the brothers together and he told them how it will go on from now on. And so the continuation of that, what God started, yes, it took place. And the word of the Lord was now carried into all the world. And we are happy to have part in it. Brothers and sisters, we are experiencing now really the last part of the divine plan of salvation, and blessed are all who let themselves be placed into this plan of salvation of our God. Let us read this couple of verses. And then we come to some wonderful scriptures. Now, Romans, chapter 4, as it was read already, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered Abraham, you can read it, Abraham fell on his face and he laughed loudly. He was laughing loud when the Lord God gave him the promise. He laughed loudly. He fell on his face. He knew what is impossible with man, this is possible with God. If we believe the promises of God, then of course not with force. I have to believe. No, with joy. To know God has taken the responsibility for it. What is impossible with men, this is of course possible with God, if he has given the promise. And then, verse 20, nevertheless, he staggered not at the promise of God. Oh, the promises of God. Levi Petrus in Stockholm, he was composing the poem, God's promises remain, they do not stagger. Jesus sealed with his blood what he promised in his word, as the song goes. That's how it's written. God swore by himself. And if you read all these verses, which speak of the covenant, it's just wonderful. And we really may be ourselves, we may consider ourselves be blessed because we can believe as the scripture says. And so, let us read and look at some scriptures now. We, of course, in these days, we have Easter before us. We have the crucifixion and that what happened on Calvary. We have it before us. Just because of the calendar, if you look in the calendar, we have it before us. We have the resurrection as the crowning of the work of redemption, as the proof, as the evidence that the sting of death was pulled out, that the power of death was taken away, and our Lord, that he rose on the third day, and he said, Why do you seek the living among the dead? And he says, behold, I live, and I have the keys of death and hell. And brothers and sisters, also this happened, of course, for us. Who has to be afraid of death? Who? Death has been overcome. Death is conquered. Death is only the transformation from time to eternity. We say here, bye-bye, and we arrive there, and we say good morning. Yes, death has lost its power. The power of death is destroyed. And at the return of our Lord, not only the power of death will be destroyed, but the death will be swallowed up into the victory which was manifested on the cross of Calvary. And then the word comes to fulfillment from Revelation. And death will be no more. Oh, God has prepared so much for us. How precious are we for Him. As we said last night, He Himself, He came to us. He lived this life. He took it upon Himself. And then, in our state, He died for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for you and for me. All our sin, all our guilt, everything was forgiven. In fact, all the curse which has hit us, He took it upon Himself. So that we could become the blessed ones of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we read the wonderful words in the prophet Hosea that the Lord wanted to take away death. In the New Testament, it has happened. Hosea, chapter 13, verse 14,
aus der Gewalt des Totenreiches,
I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, where is thy? I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Brothers and sisters, here it is written as an announcement, as a promise. And then we look back how this word has found fulfillment. Let us read from Hosea 14. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Return Israel to your God. For thou hast fallen by thine own iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, the fruits of our lips. So, return to the Lord. Take words with you. By our own iniquity we have fallen. By our own guilt we have been separated from God. By our own guilt we were surrendered unto death. And then we see Him who took upon Himself our iniquities, our guilt, our sin. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. This is a good news. And for this, we are very grateful to God with all our hearts. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, chapter 53 and chapter 54, we have the most powerful words concerning the plan of salvation of our God, concerning the redemption. Isaiah 52. Here we read in verse 7, Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes grace. that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. Then we go straight on to chapter 53. Chapter 53 in the prophet Isaiah is the most powerful, the most wonderful in connection with the redemption, which happened for us and with us. And at the beginning, it says in verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let us say it once again. Whoever believes the true proclamation, to him the arm of the Lord will be revealed. He can experience salvation, deliverance, healing. He can experience the full redemption. Faith connects us with God. Belief leads us into that what God prepared for us. And then we read in verse 5 and verse 6 in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Just say amen. Amen. As sure as he was bruised, so sure, as sure as he has shed his blood, the blood of the new covenant, so sure we have found peace with God. Let us read on. Now we are addressed again. Verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Is this not our condition? All of us, we went our own ways. In all peoples, tongues and nations, in all denominations, in all the churches, all of us, we went on our own ways. And then came the day which the Lord has made, the day of salvation, the day of grace, when we were called and when we were placed upon the narrow way. All of us, we went first on our own ways, but not today anymore. Today, we have the goal before us. And we walk on the narrow way which leads to life. But let us read also these wonderful words. Verse 8, 9 and 10. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Who does remember it today? The preaching of today is foolishness to the people, except they are ordained for eternal life. And then the word of the cross becomes the power of God to them. We read on. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to his grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He made his soul as an offering. He shed his blood. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now it's our turn. When our Lord walked this earth, the will of God happened in his life, in his ministry, in his suffering, in his dying, in his resurrection. The will of God happened and happened. Today it's our turn. Today the will of God has to take place through the church by grace. Friends, in 11 it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul, he shall see his seed, he shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In him we have the justification. One just needs to read in Romans 3, Romans 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, how the redemption is being illuminated to us from all sides. It's shown to us. Important is that we all experience it personally. Now, verse 12. From Isaiah 53, and then the other scriptures. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Everything happened. Via Gethsemane to Calvary, and then the wonderful resurrection. To this, let us read Psalm 16. There we have the short description of what had to take place there. And then we have in the New Testament the confirmation that it happened. Psalm 16, verse 8 to 10. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Acts chapter 2. Here we have, in the first sermon of Peter, the reference to this wonderful scripture from Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. Acts chapter 2, from verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And then the apostle lines out in the sermon of all what happened at the time and what was fulfilled at the time. Let us read verse 32 and 33. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Here we have the full mystery of God in Christ revealed. In the Old Testament, especially in the prophet Joel, it is written that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And in the New Testament, we read, Matthew 3, that the Holy Spirit, in all its fullness, came down on Christ. And in Colossians, we read, in Him dwelt all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in the first sermon of John the Baptist, we have heard, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Jesus Christ, God has given the whole redemption and everything what is in connection with it. And He has given it to us. One just has to see it. And one has to receive it by faith, thanking God for it. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, we have then the finishing of the time, and we are told what will happen, and also when it will happen. Revelation chapter 20, and here in particular verse 5 and 6, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We don't want to go here into these scriptures with the rapture. The first fruits will be taken up and changed, and they will meet the Lord in the air. And after the great tribulation, all the martyrs are added, and then in the millennium, they will be with us. And with this, the first resurrection is finished. And the second resurrection will then happen after the 1,000 years. As it can be read here, from Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 up to the end. Let us just read the two last verses from chapter 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brothers and sisters, believe it with your heart. If God has led you in such a way until today that you believe the word of the hour, the word of promise for this time, if you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior according to the scripture, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. Please receive it for yourselves. Receive it by faith. It is yours. God made the covenant with us. And we could read all these wonderful scriptures. Let me just read a couple from the book of Hebrews, where the covenant and the faith and the promises are emphasized. Please receive it. It's God's offer for you, God's gift, which He wants to give all of us. Hebrews chapter 4, we read in verse 2. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see what's all about? When the word is being preached, when the divine message is being preached, please believe. Don't miss the connection in that moment. Don't miss it. This is not the time for thinking about. This is the time to believe when God speaks with us. We have long enough thought over it, but in the moment when God speaks to us and when God reveals His word and promises, then the decision has come and we place ourselves onto the side of God and we believe with all our hearts. And then the word becomes clear to us, the promise becomes clear to us, and the arm of the Lord is revealed to us. How was it with me? When at that time I heard Brother Brennan for the first time, August 55, I knew nobody can open the eyes of the blind except God is with him, because that's how it's written. I knew it from the first day on, from the first meeting on. I knew this is a man sent from God. I didn't know anything of Malachi, nothing of the promises, but so much I knew. Here is a man whom God has sent, a man with whom the Lord is. Let us read from the same chapter, Hebrews 4. Namely verse 12, a word which Brother Branham liked and used many times. Now we come to the question whether we also experienced this impact. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick. What is it to you? Is it a dead letter to you about which is discussed about? Or is it a living word that the Lord speaks to us? It is a living word. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God. The word is not dead. The word is alive. And out of the living word became the revealed word in our time. The days of the Bible are here again. God makes history among His people and He calls the last ones out. Let us read verse 12. For the word of God is alive. I experienced it. It is alive. The word of God is alive and powerful. I experienced it. Just say it. I experienced it. Let each one say, I experienced it yourself. Please find yourself in the scripture. Please find yourself there so that you can confirm it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even. Has it not penetrated with you? Then may it penetrate today. May it divide soul and spirit, and may it give clarity about everything, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 5, verse 7, 8 and 9.
Von unserem Herrn noch einmal in seiner Menschheit.
This describes our Lord when he became man, when he became like us. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Brothers and sisters, could it be that God allows some things in us, also some pain and sufferings, which is happening to us, where we really ask ourselves the question, has this to be? And nevertheless, take it from the hand of the Lord. God knows why. Just stand the test. Don't murmur. Thank God for every test which comes upon you, upon us. Then verse 9. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Thereby being made perfect. We all want to be made perfect, completed or not. And by this being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is the perfect redemption. This is the perfect salvation for all who obey him. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft, but obedience is connected with faith, and faith is connected with obedience. Just listen to it once again. We are expecting now the completion, and by this being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. On the day of salvation, he has helped us. And so may he give grace to believe and to the obedience, as we already have it with Abraham as an example. Hebrews chapter 7, and here we read Hebrews 7 verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. He became surety for everything, whatever belongs to the new covenant, for every promise, which God has given, he has become the surety of the new covenant. He not only said, this is the blood of the new covenant, and we think here on the Old Testament, Exodus 24, when Moses took the blood of sprinkling, he sprinkled the book with blood, he sprinkled the covenant people with blood, all were under the reconciliation, and all were connected with that what God said in his word. And he said, when I see the blood, then I will pass over you. The Lord sees us through Calvary. He looks at us through his blood which he shed on the cross of Calvary. We found grace in the sight of God. And for this, we want to thank him today in a special way. We want to give him the glory for it. Hebrews chapter 8. We, of course, have written it in the circular letter on the cover page. We've written it. All these scriptures, we've written them down of the covenant and of the rainbow. Here, in Hebrews, chapter 8, we read, yes, we could read from verse 6, but now, has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Verse 10 refers to Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Not written anymore on tablets of stone, but written into the hearts. Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, verse 22, Hebrews 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And right after that it says, don't refuse him who speaks to you. God did everything from his side. But then the warning, don't refuse him who speaks to you.
Das Angebot Gottes, die vollbrachte Erlösung, die Versöhnung,
don't,
die Vergebung, das
don't reject the eternal life.
Euch, dass ihr den nicht ablehnt,
be aware. Don't reject him who speaks to you. Today the Lord speaks to us. And we receive everything what he has to say to us. The last verses now. Wonderful words. Just say amen to the word of God. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. Who brought him again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. May he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do we agree with this? Then let us stand up and let us read these two verses together with a sincere heart, with a request to God that it becomes true, that it becomes a reality in all of us by grace. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the divine fact with the Redeemer. And now it's our turn. Now we are all addressed. And I'm asking that we don't reject him, that we don't refuse him who speaks to us. Also through these words He speaks to us today. Please be it loud or silent. Have an amen to every thought which is being expressed here. May He make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Do you agree with this? May He make us, and I say it, He will give us the grace. He will give us the grace to do His will. And I tell you also why. Because He Himself will work it in us. Whatever He promised, He will work it in us. We can read on. Working in you. Not you are at work. He works in you, in me, in us.
And
we will experience the impact of His word in the resurrection power. Listen now. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Which is well-pleasing in His sight. God's well-pleasing will rest upon the church of Jesus Christ. As it rested upon the Son of God, it will rest upon all sons and daughters of God. Nothing blamable will be left. Which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, a new covenant, a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, up to Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. I make a new covenant with you. I lay my words in you. I give you the power to do accordingly, so that my will can happen through you, which is the church, my body on the earth. We are not a pious club. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. And the Lord is the head of the church. And we all believe the promises which He has given us by His grace. Once again, the request. Don't refuse Him who speaks to us. Don't refuse Him who promised, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Don't refuse Him who said in Matthew 17, verse 11, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Don't refuse Him who said in Mark 9, verse 12, truly, Elijah comes first and restore all things. Don't refuse Him. Don't refuse Acts 3, that Jesus remains in heaven until the times of restitution of all things what God spoke through His holy prophets. Don't refuse Him who has given the promise, which is now brought to the people. Don't refuse Him, but today, if ye hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, He knocks. Be a believer fully, not as most are doing. Oh, this they believe, this they don't believe, this they believe, this they don't believe. All are seeking and searching, picking out that what they like to believe. The Church of Jesus Christ believes the whole word. The Church of Jesus Christ believes the promises. The Church of Jesus Christ is the people of the new covenant. And so, we may call ourselves be praised and blessed. We don't judge any preacher. We don't judge any fellowship. We don't judge any single man. However, we recognized that God did great things in our time. Friends, brothers and sisters, let us say it. Who in the time of Reformation, who believed the Lord in the time of Reformation? Who believed in the revivals which followed? Who believed? Not the multitudes. They were the individuals. The individuals which whom God called out. Who believed the Lord in the Pentecostal revival? They were called a sect. Rejected by all the churches and by all the denominations that were rejected. And behold, God moved on. God moved on. Then came May 46, when the direct commission was given to Brother Branham. And the angel of the Lord said, you are sent with a message. You will pray for princes and for kings. The only man who prayed for King George, who was called to London to pray for King George the VI, God has given him instructions until all, up into all the details. And God could use him to spearhead this last healing revival. And we thank God for the message which he sent to us. And that's what it's all about. It was not only about signs and wonders and miracles, not only of outward confirmation. It was about that God's word finds confirmation in you and us, that we believe it with all our hearts. How many are having now their charismatic meetings, are going from country to country, everywhere is music, and the Lord shall be present? No, the Lord is present where he can speak, where he can be at work, where he is believed, and there where we can experience him in his resurrection power. Everything has become a divine reality. The suffering of our Lord, Gethsemane, the way to Calvary, the laying into the tomb, the resurrection, the ascension, everything is a divine reality. And everything happened for us. You will not remain in the grave. We will not remain in the grave if the Lord tarries. And the guarantee that we will be raptured is, of course, therein that he was taken already before us. And he says, I come again to take you unto myself, that you are there where I am also. Could God do more? God did everything through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be happy, be thankful toward God today. This day is the day of a good news, of the divine message. And we say it once again. The Lord completes his work with his church. And may all brothers and sisters together with us worldwide, may all be blessed. And may they have part in it. We believe the divine message, the promises, but we don't believe that God sometime stopped to work. We don't believe that everything stopped with Brother Branham. No. There it just started properly. There it just started. He was only present in 12 countries of the earth on his 7 missionary trips. Now, we have reached the whole world with the message of the hour. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our God is a wonderful God. There was always a continuation and a continuation, brothers and sisters. Now, we may experience the continuation of all what God wants to do for us in his plan of salvation, whatever he promised in his plan of salvation, what he decided. Now, a word to all who are not yet baptized biblically. Today is the opportunity for it. Also here, the word applies today. If you hear his voice, today, always today, never the Lord said tomorrow, always today, today. Today salvation has come to this house. Today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Today, if you hear his voice, always today, always the today. Whoever would like to be baptized biblically has, of course, before that, he has to have experienced a conversion before that. He has to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, just becoming a biblical believer. And then it is written in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And so on that day, 3,000 souls were added unto the church. Let us say it once again. The new covenant with all the promises, the new divine life in us, born again unto a living hope, a new heart, a new spirit, up to the new Jerusalem, which will come down as an adorned bride. And all who are part of the bride church, they will be in the new Jerusalem. I close now with the words of the Apostle Paul. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what didn't enter into any man's heart, this God prepared for those who love him. And whoever loves him loves his word. He will not receive any interpretation, but as written, ye are already pure because of the word which I have spoken to you. And so, we thank the Lord God. Let us do it together. We raise our voices together. Let us pray as one mouth. As written in Acts 4 and Romans 15, let us now thank the Lord with all our hearts together. Not very loud, nevertheless, let it be heard. Let us thank the Lord together. Brother Schmidt, come, thank together with us. And we all thanking the Lord now. Lord, we say thanks unto you with all our hearts for the grace, a thanksgiving service. We are looking up to you, the living God, giving you thanks for that what you have done for us, what you are still doing in this time in which we are living, what you are doing in our midst, what you are doing in every individual of us. We thank you that you have spoken to us today. Today we heard your voice. Our hearts are open. Bless now from the riches of your grace. Glorify the power of his blood. Let us not only say, we heard a sermon. No, you spoke personally to us. You revealed it unto us. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you. Be with us, Lord. Abide with us. Until you return, be merciful to us. Amen. We sing
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Machen wir diesen Tag
Let us make this day a thanksgiving service to the Lord for that what he has done for us. He kept us in a sound mind. He kept us in his word. He kept us in his grace and love and covenant. In his promises he kept us. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let us read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us say it once again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Bless the Lord, my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory. To you, the Lamb of God, your dying was worth it. We are your reward of your pain. We thank you. You, the Lamb of God, make us worthy to sing the new song in your glory. We as your people of the new covenant will sing the new song. We will tune in with all the elders. Beloved Lord, I claim all who in this time are hearing your word, are hearing your message, your promises, the words of your covenant, that it may be revealed to them by your Holy Spirit, and that all them, all of them, may be found in your will by your grace. Have thine own way with all of us, is our prayer. And once again, we say thanks unto you that you yourself came to us. You redeemed us, and also we will look upon him whose hands were pierced, as also the Jews, according to the word from Zechariah and according to Revelation 1, will look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will mourn, and they will lament, and will see, but this was our Lord and God, beloved Savior. The moment comes where also the veil will be taken away from the heart of the Jews, when they will recognize you. Oh, we thank you that your plan of salvation with your church and with the people of Israel and with the nations in our time is coming to its fulfillment. We thank you for the three places in your word, Luke 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know that the time is at hand. And we thank you for John 16, verse 2 and 3, where you made the statement, see, I foretold you all things. Everything you announced, everything you have foretold, and even sometimes packed into parables, yet to us you have given us the understanding that we can hear you. And you said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You have opened our understanding for the scripture. And for this, we say thanks unto you with all our heart. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Just remain standing a bit. Now we ask all to come to the front who want to be baptized. Please, come now to the front. Do we have a song which can be sung in the meantime when the brothers and sisters are coming to the front? Please come to the front now if you want to be baptized biblically today. Just look, our beloved brother. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. There you will have two healthy legs. Everything will be perfect. Come here. Precious sisters, come here. Come here. Come. Come. Who else is coming? We have given the call and you responded to it. Do you speak German, all of you? French? Pardon? A little bit of German. We will not say much now. The sermon already took place. You were informed by the word. You know what it's all about. The baptism means making a covenant of a good conscience, as Peter has written. And according to Romans 6, we are buried with Christ and we are rising with him unto a new life. Who would like to translate into French?
Ce ne marche pas comme ça. Non. C'est un frère qui parle allemand et aussi le français. Oui, bien sûr. Ja. Also, wir haben's gesagt.
You said it already.
Dabei
and it remains by this. Romans 6, dying with Christ and by baptism being buried with him and then rising with him unto a new life. With that, what Peter said, making a covenant of a good conscience. Your heavy conscience was purified by faith in Jesus Christ, a full justification by faith in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Satan may not accuse you. He lost his right. You are free. Your guilt was laid upon the Lamb of God. And you may go out free. Be blessed. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. We are happy together with you. Now, before we ask Brother Müller to pray with us, I would like to wish all of you God's blessings. Our brothers from Finland, from Sweden, from all the neighboring countries, up to our brother to Hungary, to Romania. You all know we are joined deeply with each one. Brother John from Bucharest, he has sent us greetings. Brother Daniel, he also sent us greetings. All the brothers who are joined with us, they were sending greetings. Greetings of blessings. Yes, up even from Moscow. Yes, the word of the Lord is running swiftly. And the last ones are reached. Our precious brothers from Atlanta, God bless you. Be with you. Our sisters from Kinshasa, God bless you. Also there, our brothers. Two special brothers we have, Brother Joseph and Brother George. All the brothers whom God is using mightily. Then we have our beloved Dr. Mbie, whom God used in a wonderful way. I know him for many, many years. God opened his heart when I the first time came to Kinshasa. many years ago. Even now on the Philippines, I met brothers who 1972 were in the first meetings which I held on the Philippines. All, everywhere the word was sown, and everywhere the seed came up. I didn't tell you this yet. The last journey was really the most difficult one. In all the many years, in all the 47 years of traveling, I never had such a difficult journey according to the body. It was very hard for me. The last one, I couldn't even carry my baggage. Whoever was there, I had to ask him to carry my baggage. But in the meeting, the word was mighty. Very mighty. And just imagine, just for your information now, you know the story with Indonesia. You know the thing with the Bible, that more than 5,000 times the name Allah was printed in the Bible in Indonesia and in Malaysia. And now, my translator was reading from the New Bible, in which the name Allah is not written a single time anymore, but Elohim Yahweh. He showed me the Bible. He said, Brother Frank, this is the New Bible. This is the New Bible. Nice format, nice writing. And we just thank God for all the leadings and ways which He has with all of us by His grace. Please remember us, remember me and all the brothers who are ministering with the word, Brother Gilbert, all the brothers, Brother Inodi, and all the brothers who are here today, who carry the word. Doesn't matter in which country. May the unity be among the ministers, so that the unity can be established and manifested in the church. Only if the unity is among the ministers, then it can be manifested in the church in which we are serving. And it's of course written, the Lord has set the ministries into the church, not the rulers, the ministries He set in the churches. Everyone shall minister with the gift and the commission which he received from the Lord. God leads us back. Amen. Say amen. God brings us back to the beginning.
May God bless each and every one, wherever you might be on earth, from New Zealand right to the last corner in the west. God bless you all. Dieu vous bénisse tous et soit avec vous tous. Dans le nom de Jésus Christ, notre Sauveur.
Then, just announcement now. Right now we go to baptism, and in the meantime, where the brothers are changing clothes, all who are taking part in the Israel trip, they come into the office, and there you will get something said. You will get the last information. Right after this service, we go to the baptism, and all who go to Israel, they please come then into the office to get a short information. May the Lord bless you all and be with you. Dear brothers and sisters, maybe I can say here, I'm so grateful to God that I could be present in these two meetings, because God has brought His word to us. Not only He brought it nigh to us, but it was laid into our hearts. If I think on the last meeting last night, that God was in human flesh among the people. And yet, not recognized. He was standing at the tomb of Lazarus.
Und auf einmal wird dort gefällt haben.
And he, gesagt, wo ist Lazarus? And they would probably they said,
ihr Lieben, und so wird es mit der Entrückung sein. Eines Tages werden irgendwelche in den Familien verschwunden sein. Wo sind sie? Er hat sie gerufen. So wie er damals Lazarus gerufen hat, gelobt und gepriesen. Sei sein wunderbarer Name. Ach, geliebter Heiland, ich bin dir so von Herzen dankbar.
I'm so grateful to you, beloved Savior, for your precious and holy word. I ask you, Lord, give a firm heart to your people to believe your word and to hold fast to it. Doesn't matter what it costs. To you be the praise and the honor and the glory. Lord, you made a covenant with us. You made us worthy. And I want to ask you, give us grace that we hold fast to the covenant, even if it costs our lives. To you be the glory and praise. And bless also the brothers and sisters who are going to be baptized. Give them a good conscience and give them mercy and grace that they live out your life for your praise and for your glory. And also all those who go to Israel, bless them and keep them. I thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just briefly an announcement. In this circular letter, which sadly is not finished in other languages yet, it could not be printed so fast. You will get it a bit later in other languages, but you will get it. It will be translated into all the other languages, also into Spanish, into Portuguese, into all the languages. Please forgive us if we this time have not all languages ready at the same time. Then, the announcement, as written in the circular letter, always the Lord willing, always God willing, on Saturday, the 25th of April, there will be a meeting in Böblingen, close to Stuttgart, and on Sunday, in Zurich, and on Thursday, the 21st of May, Ascension Day, in Berlin. Saturday, in Salzburg. Saturday, 23rd of May, in Salzburg. Sunday, the 24th of May, in Zurich. Pray all that the Lord God may use such meetings, that we invite others, that they bring them, that we bring them. If the circulars are not enough here in the auditorium, then we ask our sister Christa to go into the dispatch. And there you can receive the circular letters. Do you know what we will do now? We sing now from chorus number 1 in English for all our brothers and sisters worldwide. English is, of course, the world language. We all learned English at school, be it little or much. And actually, one English, one doesn't have to learn, one just has to speak it. So, let us sing now.
They
come from the east and west.
From the lands afar, to feast with the king, to dine as his guest.
Just singing.
Come from the east and west, we come from
Oh,
Der Blessing of the Almighty God rests upon the people of the New Covenant. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Each one is shaking hands with each one. Wish one another God's blessing. Amen.